The Lady Vols have a coaching search on their hands. Danny White has fired Kelly Harper, and now all eyes are on who's going to replace Kelly Harper in what will be one of the most important moves of Danny White's tenure, certainly since he hired Josh Heupel at the beginning of his time as Tennessee's AD. Welcome into the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside the Knoxville News Sentinel's John Adams and Cora Hall. Of course, you know John, regular on the pod. Cora covers the Lady Vols for the News Sentinel, also an AP Top 25 voter, knows women's basketball very, very well, and is covering this search for the News Sentinel over at knoxnews.com. So let's get into it. Today, we're going to pitch some candidates for this search. We got a few big name swing for the fences options we've got lined up. We also got a few fallback plans, maybe if those big name options don't connect. But first, let's set the scene for this a little bit. When you look back at past Tennessee coaches since Pat Summitt, they've gone in the family. Pat Summitt disciples, first with Holly Warlick, then with Kelly Harper. Holly Warlick was fired by Philip Fulmer, replaced by Kelly Harper, and now Tennessee moving on from Kelly Harper. So before we get into candidates, I'm wondering from you both, let's start with this. How likely do you think it is that Tennessee will try to stay in the family this time and hire another former Summit disciple, someone who played for the Lady Vols? Or do you think the appetite is there to this time maybe go in a different direction and look outside the family for this hire?
I think you kind of have to go outside of it this time just because the last two didn't work out. And I think Danny White also has a less vested interest in staying in the family, more like less than Philip Fulmer, at least. It doesn't help that there isn't an obvious candidate who is a Lady Vols alumni. I mean, Kara Lawson obviously is, you know, has a promising start at Duke. I think it's just hard to sell that when, if you're making this decision now, if you're firing Kelly Harper right now, it feels like a lateral move in some ways, just because she's only been there for really three seasons because Duke opted out of the 2020-2021 season. She's been to the last two tournaments. They made a run to the Sweet 16 this year, and then they lost to UConn. So I think if you're looking to really make a big splash with this hire, I don't know if she's the way you go. She has had some success in recruiting, which is important, but with Kelly Harper making back-to-back runs to Sweet 16, and if that is kind of the standard where it's not good enough, I just don't know if picking a coach who doesn't have as many years under her belt and has only also reached the same achievement in the postseason is really the best way to go when the program is at such a pivotal moment as it is right now.
Yeah, I think Kara Lawson would have had a better shot if Tennessee had never hired a former Lady Vol as its coach. I just don't think you could do it for that reason alone, because you've hired two really good former Lady Vol point guards. You fired them both, and now you're going to hire a third. I don't know how you explain that at a press conference. And I'm with Cora. I mean, she's done okay at Duke. Duke's had a lot of success through the years, and other coaches have recruited well there. I think it's a good place to recruit to for women's basketball. So I would eliminate her just kind of on that alone. I just don't know. I want somebody, I guess, either with a better resume or with kind of a wow factor. And I think, to me, Kara Lawson would have been a more viable candidate the first time when she was a sort of a candidate and UT hired Kelly Harper, because you knew what Kelly Harper's track record was. You didn't know. Kara Lawson had no track record head coach. She'd been an assistant with the Celtics, done very well on ESPN. She's very bright. So she had you didn't know what her upside was, but Kelly, I mean, she'd been fired at NC State. That was a pretty big red flag. So I just don't think you could go there.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you guys say this, because I remember I covered the 2019 coaching search for the Lady Vols, and there was a very strong feeling at that time that it was going to be one of two people. It was either going to be Kelly Harper or it was going to be Kara Lawson. And Philip Fulmer sort of hammered that home at the introductory press conference for Kelly Harper. He said quite revealingly that he had a thought at one point during the search that maybe he would go outside the family, but he said three administrators told him that it was essential that this hire had to come from the Lady Vols family. And, you know, that really sort of reduced the search, I think, to two realistic candidates at that time, Kelly Harper and Kara Lawson. And we know where Tennessee went with that. So it does seem like it would be kind of going back in time 5 years if they were to land on Kara Lawson. That doesn't seem like it's Danny White's style. It would go against every indicator we have on Danny White, as Cora was saying. And also, we just see this time and again with coaching searches. It doesn't really matter the sport. You always do the opposite of what you had before. You know, if it's football and you had a defensive-minded coach before, didn't work, you fire him and you bring in the offensive-minded coach. If you had a a coach that was old school before, you, the next coach is quote unquote new school. That, I mean, it almost down the line, we see this time and again, you always look for the opposite of what you had before. And maybe that's unfair to Kara Lawson, but it just sort of is the reality. So I agree with you all that I think I would be surprised if Kara Lawson is the landing spot here. Cora, how willing do you think the appetite is, I guess, in the fan base, supporters, boosters around the program, that maybe this time Tennessee could go outside the family? Because I'm not sure, I don't think that appetite was there among Lady Vols fans 5 years ago. I think most of them had hoped Tennessee would and did stay inside the family. Do you think that has changed, and maybe to what degree in the last few years?
I don't know. I think it's probably, there's people on both sides where I know there is a lot of people who are talking about Kara Lawson, and just because of the success she did have this year. But I do think that there's a lot of people that are have the mindset of, if you are going to fire Kelly, like, you have to get somebody better. And I think that's true. Like, I think if you're going to make this decision now, like, the person you hire has to be a surefire better coach who is going to impact and move the needle immediately. Because otherwise, I don't know why you made the decision now. So I think it's kind of, if they're gonna do this and you know, move on from Kelly, I think there's probably a lot of people with the feeling of, we just need to get the best coach we possibly can. And it feels difficult to limit that to, you know, as much as maybe some people want to have a former Lady Vol, it's just like, it's just a hard sell right now with the former Lady Vols as head coaches. I think maybe down the line, Alex Simmons is a really interesting coach to consider. She's just so young right now and just finished her first season at Memphis. So, like, it's just so early in her career to even really consider that when the program's at the point it is right now. But I do think down the road, like, she's going to be a very interesting candidate for this job if it becomes open again, because I mean, she walked into Thompson Bowling Arena this season and almost upset Tennessee when Rekia Jackson, that was the first game Rekia Jackson was hurt, and they walked in and forced overtime, played really, really hard. She coached a great game. So I have no doubt will have success in her coaching career. So she could be a really interesting candidate down the line, but I just don't think right now it's, as much as if you want it to happen, I don't think it's really an option.
All right, so let's get into maybe some options. John starts off here. Like I said, we're going to have some swing big candidates and a few fallback options as well. So, John, get us going with your first swing big candidate for this coaching search.
Okay, I'm going with Jeff Walls of Louisville. He wanted the job 5 years ago. I don't think Tennessee had any interest in him. I think, as Cora pointed out, and you did too, I mean, he wanted to hire somebody in the Lady Vols family. Now that that's run its course, I don't think there would be the same objections. He's got a really proven, a long-standing track record. He's played for two national championships, been to a lot of elite eights. I was actually covering a game in the NCAA tournament when his Louisville team upset Baylor. That was a Baylor dynasty with Brittany Griner and Kim Mulkey there. That was considered a super team. And Louisville beat that team. Just a tremendous game in the Sweet 16. And that really got my attention. And just his overall track record, I just really like him as a coach. So he would be my number one home run hire. And I think it's very conceivable that he would take the job.
Yeah, it's interesting, John, you mentioned that. Like back in 2019, Jeff Walls was darn near begging for an interview. I mean, he was talking about the job publicly during the NCAA tournament. It was really kind of eye-opening. I remember he had one comment like, no, I haven't been interviewed yet. Almost like, please, Tennessee, come interview
well,
me.
I think Jeff Walls, and I think there are other coaches like this who are doing well wherever they are, and I think they see the ceiling is higher at Tennessee because of what Pat Summitt did there. And that still looms large with this program. I mean, Pat's been gone a long time now, retired after the 11-12 season, and then died in 2016. But when Tennessee was playing NC State in that regional, the commentators were still talking about Pat Summitt, about the importance of rebounding and defense. Pat Summitt always stressed that. So people still know about Pat Summitt. And I think other coaches look at this job in that light. And that's one reason why I think Tennessee can hire a good coach. And you talk about a home run hire. Corn knows the game right now, what's going on at other schools better than I do. So, but there might be some really good coach out there that you think, oh, I don't know if she'd want to be the coach at Tennessee. And yes, she would. You know, so I think the key is to find that coach and make that connection.
Corey, your thoughts on Jeff Walls and also your first swing big candidate?
I think to John's last point, I think it will be interesting with this search to see what kind of pull the Lady Vols brand and program still has, because I think it's still a very attractive job to 95% of coaches in America. I think there are very few coaches who wouldn't consider a call. I think there's very few coaches who, you know, wouldn't consider an offer. But I think Jeff Walls is an interesting, you know, swing big candidate, definitely has a great resume. I'm not sure how popular he would be among the fan base. I'm also not sure how much that would impact Danny White's decision, because at the end of the day, he's going to hire someone who wins, who has postseason success, or at least he should. So yeah, I don't know if Jeff Walls would be a super popular pick among the Tennessee fan base, just from the kind of temperature I've read on social media and what I've heard. But my first big swing candidate, I didn't have her on my original hot board. She was going to be on my second. But I think Brenda Fries is a really interesting option, just because she's had a really long track record of success. You know, every place she's coached, I mean, she's 639 and 191 in her career. So that's like a 77% win percentage. She's 42-17 in the NCAA tournament, has won a national championship, been to the Final Four, was a consensus coach of the year in 2021. So I think it could be interesting to look at Fries and if she would be interested, because she's also has a good track record with recruiting. You know, she was at Maryland when they were in the ACC and the Big Ten and had success in both conferences. So I think that could be interesting for sure. And I think that she would be a well-received candidate by the fan base. And I think it'd be good if they can to try to hire a woman and continue that streak. But obviously, like, they're looking at who's the best that they can get. So I'm not sure if Fries is looking to leave Maryland, but I think she's an interesting candidate, especially if you're thinking about postseason success and sustained success over career.
Yeah, certainly someone who has the credentials, lost in the first round, I believe, this year, but it was just a year ago that she had Maryland in the Elite Eight. You mentioned the multiple Final Fours. It's interesting we have Brenda Fries so far and a Brenda Fries disciple in Jeff Walls highlighting her the list so far. So I wonder if we'll hear more about Brenda Fries later. John, your thoughts on Brenda Fries?
Brenda Fries was on my list. Brenda Fries, it seems as though she's been coaching for so long, she should be in her 70s. And she's not nearly that old. And I don't know what her family situation is. I remember there was during an NCAA tournament, it seems like she had twins maybe or something. And that was kind of a big story. One of the twins had some health issues. She's been at Maryland a long time. She seemed like a better candidate 7 or 8 years ago. But sometimes coaches that, I don't remember what Maryland women's basketball was before Brenda Fries went there. And so, maybe a new job might invigorate her and maybe push her. And I think maybe she could recruit. She's a good, really good recruiter. And that she could recruit better to Tennessee than she could at Maryland now. And maybe she's got transfers coming and going there. That's one of the things I know. It seems to be a very volatile program, but it doesn't seem to negatively impact the program. Players come in there, have success, go somewhere else and have success. She just finds other players. And I think it's very important to be able to assemble a new roster with transfers, particularly in Tennessee's case. So, yeah, I would consider that a home run hire.
Yeah, and if maybe the timing could be right, too, with the Big Ten expanding, who knows, maybe Brenda Fries doesn't want to make all these cross-country flights to Southern Cal and UCLA and Oregon on down the line. I mean, I say that kind of jokingly, but seriously, like I think there ought to be a lot of Big Ten coaches considering, hey, do I want to be in this conference that's roughly the size of Europe? No joke. So my first swing big candidate, if anyone read my column this week, they probably know. I'm swinging big with Lindsey Gottlieb, the Southern Cal coach, former NBA assistant with the Cleveland Cavaliers. She's been successful at every stop of her college coaching career. She was with the Cal Bears before she went to the NBA. Cal, you know, doesn't have the richest women's basketball history, and she was a staple in the NCAA tournament there, and has done really well at USC. We saw them just lose in the Elite Eight to UConn, but the list of coaches who have lost to Geno in the Elite Eight is quite lengthy, and there's some really good coaches on that list. So that doesn't dissuade me from her. I did wonder, she's got it humming really, really well at USC. She's got 6 ESPN top 100 recruits lined up for next season. And of course, we all know about Juju Watkins and what she did this year, set to return next year. Would any of them follow her to Tennessee? It could be tempting. Would she leave? I don't know. But I think to Cora's point from earlier, you don't fire Kelly Harper and then roll out someone with an inferior resume or with less momentum in their current program than what Kelly Harper had. I think Lindsey Gottlieb has more momentum going at Southern Cal, undeniably, than what Tennessee had going. And would she say yes? Don't know. Don't know the answer to that unless you ask her and make a very compelling offer to her.
I agree. I think Lindsey's a really interesting candidate, just, and it would be absolutely a home run. I think it's just a matter of, I wonder how attached she is to the program. It seems like she's pretty invested in that. She's really built something there, especially with the recruiting class she has coming in. So it would just be, can she be bought? Because I think if you float someone like Dawn Staley, I don't think a check could be big enough from Tennessee for Dawn Staley to leave. Is that the same situation with Lindsey Gottlieb? I don't know. Possibly. But also to your point about the conference realignment, that I feel like that plays a part with every Power Five coach outside the SEC, really, because if you look at Oregon State, Washington State, they're joining the West Coast Conference. Okay, that's definitely a step down. And then Big Ten is now, and the ACC are both coast conferences at this point. So I wonder how that impacts people's happiness and their current position.
Yeah, and the other thing I think about with Lindsey Gottlieb, maybe this thought wouldn't enter her mind, but I believe she is subject to a 12% state income tax in California, 0% state income tax in Tennessee, and never lived in LA, but I suspect, despite the fact that Knoxville is a booming place, probably still a little cheaper than Los Angeles. So maybe I'm making Danny White's pitch for him.
Well, Blake, I think there's so many people from California moving here to Knoxville, so she just joined a long list. A realtor friend of mine talks quite a bit about all the California customers she has. So, and you're right about that. You're right about that price range. And you brought up those cross-country trips and travel. And I don't know how they're going to work that out in the Big Ten, in the newly aligned Big Ten, but I think Tennessee, and I don't know what she's making there, but I think Tennessee can probably pay more than Southern Cal can.
Yeah, if it wants to go big, Tennessee's gone cheap and fast.
And if you get some of those recruits to come along with her, so much the better. I mean, she could flip the program pretty fast. So yeah, that would be, and she's a hot name now, and she's the coach who recruited Juju, so that's in her favor as well.
I do wonder with the recruiting point. Obviously, you know, USC has a healthy NIL backing behind it, and Juju stayed home to go to USC. So I'm not sure, you know, Juju follows her, and I'm not sure. Like, would you leave if Juju wouldn't follow you? I don't know. I mean, I feel like you wouldn't. And, you know, can Tennessee, you know, get the NIL money together for the next year's class? If she, you know, was thinking about leaving, would they follow her? I don't know. Because also, Knoxville is a great city, but a lot of kids like LA and that life and that atmosphere. So, and based on what they did this season with, you know, selling out home court, like home games, like I'm not sure recruits would be super willing to leave, even though I'm sure they love Lindsey as a coach, you know? So I'm wondering if she didn't feel like the recruit to follow her, would that also, you know, impact? And I feel like when you have a generational player like Juju, it probably would.
Yeah, that's a good point. John, your next big candidate.
Okay, my next big candidate, I decided to go a little bit off the wall with this one.
Love it.
A little weird.
Love
okay.
it.
You could call it a home run hire mm-hmm. or a possible strikeout hire. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I know where this one's going.
Candace Parker.
There we have it.
She's a player. Okay. She's a former Lady Vol. Uh-huh. I mean, how much longer can she last in the day? She's a
turning 38
legend.
Turning 38 soon. She's got to be thinking about what's next.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, she's got to be looking at her next move. Also with Candace, I really like her as an analyst. I think she comes
well, you're going to lose her as an analyst if you hire her as the coach.
Well, I know, but, okay. You know, I can maybe call her up and ask her what she thinks about such and such NBA game or NCAA tournament men's game. I just think she's very good. She's got a presence about her. She really knows the game. You can tell when she analyzes, she really knows the game. And so, as I said once before, when Kara Lawson and Kelly Harper were the candidates, I like Kara Lawson more because she didn't have a track record and I didn't know what her upside might be. So I'll do the same thing. I don't know. Would this constitute a home run hire? Hiring somebody that doesn't even coach?
I think it constitutes hiring an WNBA player. Yeah, I think that constitutes a home run.
I mean, she's kind of a diva, I guess, but she's certainly well known. And
certainly.
Yeah. So, and when was the last time Tennessee won a national championship? She was in the starting lineup. So that's my home run / strikeout hire.
I love it. Cora, I know you're dying to get in here. Your thoughts?
I have so many thoughts. I think from my perspective, from what I know about what Candace has said about, you know, potentially retiring and then coming back for this last season to play for the Aces, family is very important to her right now. And I don't think she has any interest in becoming a college coach when she has a 2 or 3 year old and like 2 very small children and Layla in high school, because college coaching takes up your whole life. And I just don't think that that is even on her radar right now. Would she would be, you know, very celebrated by the fan base, of course. And obviously I'm sure she would be able to recruit. And I have no doubt that she would be a good coach. But I don't think from her side, she would even be interested right now. And I think, yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if she'd want to. It's a risk. Like, this is a big job. It's super intimidating. There is a lot of pressure. And to be a player who you are the last one to win a national title here, and you are kind of a legend in the program, like, it's a risk to go in and be like, I'm going to be the head coach and lead them back to the mountaintop. What if that doesn't happen? Like, yeah, that's a huge, you know, leap of faith on her end. Besides the fact that I don't really think she's interested in college coaching in general, especially at this point in her life, I could see it, you know, once her kids are older, but she's got 2 very young kids, Layla in high school. She literally went to Vegas and got paid way less just to be closer to her family. So like, I don't know. I think it's an interesting person to bring up, but I think it's very unlikely.
John, you took the assignment seriously. You were swinging big here.
Well, I was swinging for the, and see, one thing about me, I don't have any problem with rejection. It doesn't faze me. So I could, if Candace says no, is to Cora's point, if she's, yeah, family issues, doesn't want to move, still got a year, wants to play longer, fine. Okay. Hey, good talking to you, Candace. I'll move on. Okay.
Yeah. What do you think about the Celtics game tonight?
Yeah. I was thinking about making a bet. Who do you like here?
Right. All right, Cora, your next big candidate.
I had her at the top of my first hot board. And even though it's a super, super tough hire, I think you have to call her. And that is Nell Ivey at Notre Dame. Would be an absolute home run of a hire. I don't know if she'd ever leave Notre Dame because she played there and coached with Muffet McGraw for so long, but she has already established herself as one of the best coaches in the country. Only 4 seasons into being a head coach, has won an ACC regular season championship, ACC tournament title, really, really strong recruiting track record as an assistant and already as a head coach, young, relatable, very, very popular. But yeah, the problem with that one is I'm not sure if she's someone who can be bought, because you went there, you coach alongside the legend of your program. You already have built a very strong foundation for your own tenure there. It'd be very hard to hire her away, but she would absolutely be like grand slam hire for this, because she just, yeah, she's compelling. She's young, she's successful. So.
Yeah, I like this one. I think back to 2019 and think Tennessee could have been ahead of the game if they would have tapped Ivy in 2019. When this job came open before she was the coach at Notre Dame, possible opportunity, well, definite opportunity missed there. Could they go back in time? Would they do it? Who knows? But would probably have looked really, really good 5 years later. John, your thoughts on Ivy at Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah. And I would go the same route with her as I would with my home run / strikeout pick in Candace Parker. She says, no, okay, hey, best of luck to you. See you at the Final Four. But she'd be a great hire. And one of the things about her, too, is there wasn't a big deal made about it because she was already on staff. And I thought Muffet McGraw was a great coach. I love what she did at Notre Dame. And just really good representative of a program. She wins. She's good with the media, good promoter. And so you have – she was following a legend there at Notre Dame. And that's not much import placed on that because she was already there. But still, she's following a great coach. And I wondered about that hire at the time. I didn't know that much about her. She had a good reputation as a recruiter. But she's done really well. She's fit in perfectly there and continued the success. You don't see that happen that often. That's an exception, what happened there. So, yeah, that would be a great – yeah, if you could hire her, go for it.
John, I know you got to run for an important interview here, so Cor and I are going to wrap up the pod here in a moment, but I want to get your final candidate. We've heard your two swing bigs, Jeff Walls and Candace Parker. Now, how about more the double into the gap, if you will, if you're striking out on your swings for the fences?
Well, see, I'm confident I won't strike out.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I just, you know, that's not an option for me.
Well, I think so, if you started with Jeff Walls, you're not going to strike out. I agree with you
okay.
there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like all the candidates you guys have represented. I think surely Tennessee can get one of them. It's not going to strike out on all of them. Maybe on Candace, but not all the others, and maybe not on Ivy. And this was, I don't know much about this coach, but I know somebody who knows a lot about SEC basketball, and he highly recommends Sam Purcell in Mississippi State.
Ooh, that's and
I don't think there's any doubt he'd take the job. Why would he not take the job? I did like when I saw them play, the way he interacted with his players. The players seemed to play hard for him. They seemed very motivated. So, yeah, he didn't. But we're talking fall back here. I'm not planning on falling back. I don't go into this saying, man, I sure do want to fall back in this coaching search. So that would be my fallback candidate.
All right, Sam Purcell, Mississippi State, a Jeff Walls disciple, I believe. So we have Walls, who's a Brent Freeze disciple, Purcell, who's a Walls disciple. We're just running through the coaching trees here.
Why not just hire Brent Freeze and pay those two head coaches enough to be in their assistants too? I'll give them all a couple of million a year and bring back the band.
Yeah, put it back together. John, I know you got to run. Thanks for your ideas. Cora, I'm curious what you think. You're the expert here. What's your thoughts on John inserting Sam Purcell?
I think it's interesting. I think he wouldn't probably be on my list just because, like, he's so early in his coaching career, and you kind of have to wonder about the way they ended this season. They brought back some really good pieces. They had some pretty good freshmen come in, some solid portal kids, and they started off – well, they didn't have a great non-con, pretty weak schedule in my opinion. So they were winning games. They lost a few when they had players out. Started up SEC play all right, had a big win over LSU, and then everything kind of just went downhill from there. And it was really kind of confusing because they have a great center in Jessica Carter. They have a great guard in Jerkayla Jordan. So they should have been more successful than they were. And it just didn't come together, which is also kind of the nature with sometimes portal teams. But, I mean – you can't not love his personality as a coach. I think he's made really good impressions across the SEC, and I have no doubt that he's going to find some success at Mississippi State for sure. I just think for me, it's a little early for that, especially the way they ended this season.
Yeah, I might rather have the other coach in Mississippi as my fallback option if the swing bigs didn't work out, and Coach Yeo and what she's doing at Ole Miss. I kind of like both of them, but if I had to turn to one as a so-called fallback, I would probably go with Yeo before I would go with Purcell. So I'm going to throw out my final two, and then we'll end with your final one, Cora. But my final swing big, I also teased this one in my column. This would be an awfully, awfully swing big. Becky Hammon, coaching in the WNBA, longtime NBA assistant with Greg Popovich, has interviewed for multiple NBA coaching jobs. Played professionally in Tennessee with Tennessee Fury way back when. If she's getting tired of waiting on the NBA and wants a change out of the W, cut her a fat check. See if she wants to coach a college game. Hasn't shown interest in that before. I believe she turned down the Florida job. It was reported a few years ago. So there's not really any indication that maybe she would jump at this. But if we're talking swing big, I'm inserting Becky Hammon into the conversation. And then my fallback is actually where John started the conversation. I think Jeff Walls qualifies as a swing big, but I don't want to fall back too far. And knowing how desperately Jeff Walls wanted an interview 5 years ago, maybe he's changed on that. Maybe he's no longer interested in Tennessee, but I'm putting him under the heading of fallback option, because if he wanted that interview so bad 5 years ago, who says he doesn't want the job now, especially coming off a first-round exit with Louisville, if ever there was a time for him to restart his career elsewhere. I think this could be it, and I wonder if he's still interested 5 years later. So your thoughts on, and we've already discussed Walls, but your thoughts on my final two, Cora?
Becky's an interesting name. I think even though she's like had so much success in the pros, I still think there's an inherent risk when you hire somebody who doesn't have experience coaching women's basketball and recruiting women's basketball. Like, it is, both are so difficult in different ways. Like the pros, you're, you know, building a roster with only 12 spots and this much money. And like, there's all, you know, it's a way different kind of recruiting players to your team. Not that I don't think that she would do well, but I do still think like there is an inherent risk there of like, for her too included, like leaving somewhere she's so successful to dive into something that is way different, and probably takes up way more of her time than the WNBA, which plays, you know, for the summer and spring, as opposed to college, which is going to be year round every single day of your life, basically. I also think that she would get a counter offer that would outmatch Tennessee to stay at the Aces, given their run with her. I don't think that they're going to let her go very easily. And I'm not sure that, you know, again, I don't know if she's shown much interest in going to back to the college level, or not back to, but going to it initially. My fallback would be J.R. Payne at Colorado. It's kind of a risk because her first five seasons there weren't super impressive, but the last three have been really strong seasons that she's put together. Been to the Sweet 16 for the last 2 years, and is from Jackson, Tennessee, if they want a Tennessee connection, even though it's not Lady Vols, but you know, having a Tennessee native might be attractive to the administration just for that kind of connection. But she's done well developing players and building a team into, you know, a favorite for a postseason run for most of the season. They kind of fell off towards the end of Pac-12 play, which was a brutal conference this year. And they kind of got it, and it hurt their seeding, which matched them up with Iowa in the Sweet 16, which is a really tough, you know, sell with the way Caitlin Clark is playing. So I think if maybe they had gotten a different draw, maybe they make it to the Elite Eight this year or farther. Who knows? But I think she's an intriguing candidate just because of recent success. And you have to wonder what she could do with the resources at Tennessee and, you know, that kind of brand power and NIL money behind her. But yeah, I think that's kind of my fallback option here.
Yeah, she's an interesting one because, as you said, like they were really patient with her at Colorado in the first several years of her tenure, and it's paid off. So good for them. She wouldn't get that kind of patience at Tennessee. It would be a much more demanding job than she's ever had, obviously, coaching the Lady Vols versus Colorado women. I mean, it's really kind of night and day. But as you said, you look through the lens of the last couple seasons, back-to-back Sweet 16s. I wonder, you know, as you said, kind of in the open, trying to sell it to the fan base of, we hired someone better than Kelly Harper, when her high watermark is a Sweet 16, same as what Kelly's high watermark was at at Tennessee. I think you have to sell this one on, hey, she beat Kim Mulkey to start the season, right? Maybe that's the sell of how this could be a bright future.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely kind of an outlier. Like I think she's a solid option, but in terms of this coaching search, I think they got to swing bigger, but she's definitely a solid coach. And with the conference realignment, she might probably is looking, you know, if she had a better option, would take it.
Final thing, Cora, as we record this on a Wednesday afternoon, you are in Cleveland to cover the women's Final Four and national championship. But, you know, we know the search started officially on Monday with Danny White's decision to move on from Kelly Harper. Do you get any sense for sort of rough timeline when Tennessee may be able to wrap this search up? Do you think it could happen maybe even before the national championship game on Sunday?
I think they definitely have to move quickly just because the transfer portal window has been open for immediate eligibility for a few weeks. There are some bigger names starting to enter this week, and this team is going to need, you know, good players out of the portal to make an immediate impact next season. So I think you have to move quickly. There's also evaluation periods coming up for high school recruits near the end of the month. So getting someone in quickly as possible is ideal, especially for that coach's sake of getting a good start. And there were reports that, you know, they were already conducting interviews in Atlanta this week. So I could realistically see someone being in, like, getting an offer and getting paperwork done by the end of the weekend, but I don't know if they'd announce it or want to announce it till after the national championship. So I could see someone being in place by early next week. Because also this wasn't just a move that they made on Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, they've clearly been considering it. And if you were, I'm sure you're sending out feelers, you know, trying to gauge interest. You have probably candidates in mind you really, really want that you could hit the ground running with immediately. So I would imagine it's going to happen pretty quickly.
All right. You can find all of Cora's coverage of the coaching search and also the Final Four over on KnoxNews.com. John's got some commentary. I do as well. And when a hire is announced, we'll try to get Cora back to discuss the direction Tennessee went with this hire. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.